So, part two of our prophecy update. I guess I haven't scared too many of you away. That's always a good thing with part one. But I've called it Event Horizon, and for a reason. The event horizon is the place by a black hole where once you pass that, there's no going back. You are sucked into the black hole. And as I said last week, that's what we see happening with the world. The world's being drawn into this black hole of hopelessness. And really, the only hope we have is the Lord. And it's interesting because we are, as a church, are moving closer to what the Bible calls the rapture of the church and the start of the seven-year tribulation period. Now, here's the thing. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the rapture of the church. We covered it in depth in our 1st and 2nd Thessalonians studies. So if you want to go through that, that was our Sunday morning in-depth studies. But I want to share with you why I believe in the rapture of the church, because many people today are negating it, especially in the church. They're saying, well, it's not even in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible, and we'll talk about that. But here's the biggest reason. Why do I believe in the rapture of the church? Because the Bible tells us that we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. Simple. Done, right? Well, for many, they need more than that. Okay, so I'll give you more than that. Here's the thing. What is our focus? Our focus is in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are looking for His coming to take us home to be with Him. And if you look at what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, you see the rapture of the church spoken of. And it's interesting because Paul starts out, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest your sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, when Paul speaks of being caught up with those who are asleep, those who have died prior to the rapture, who's being caught up with these dead saints who will rise first? Paul says, those of us who are alive when the rapture occurs will be caught up with the dead and we will meet the Lord in the air. Now, people say, well, I don't see the rapture in there. It says caught up. Well, that word caught up means snatched away, and snatched away violently. So if you don't want to call it the rapture of the church, and I said this before, call it the great snatch away. I think rapture sounds better. It's the same idea. We are going to be caught up together with them. That word together deals with time. The word with speaks of space. And here's the point. Paul's saying that we will all arrive together at the same time and together in the same space with the Lord. The dead in Christ and those who are alive will meet the Lord in the air at the same time, even though it says the dead in Christ will rise first. And how is this going to happen? Well, again, Paul tells us that we are going to be caught up, or harpazo in the Greek. And again, like I said, it means a seizing or snatching away. It happens very quickly. In fact, the Bible says it happens in the twinkling of an eye. We are immediately transformed when the rapture takes place. You know, I hear people say, oh, when the rapture happens, then I'll get right with God. Well, you're not going to have time. It's the twinkling of an eye. You got to get ready here and now. That's the problem for many. And the twinkling of an eye, I believe, means it's the time it takes for light to hit the surface of the eye till it hits the retina. Here's the thing, to kind of give you a perspective of that, because, you know, it's hard for me to figure that out. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second, and that means it would take 1.5 seconds for light to travel from the Earth and reach the moon. That's how quickly. The moon is 239,000 miles from the Earth. Bam, we're with the Lord. Isn't it going to be great? So in the twinkling of an eye, light would only reach 1 foot from the surface of the Earth. You see, no one's going to see it happen, but they will definitely see the effects when all these people disappear, right? We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll always be with Him. And Paul says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort from what? the coming tribulation that's coming upon this earth, where God is going to pour out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. That's what he's saying. Comfort people. Understand, before that takes place, we're going to be taken home to be with the Lord. Now, there is no doubt we are going to suffer persecution from the world. The Bible is clear on that. Our brothers and sisters around the world in some of these countries are being put to death for their faith right now. China is cracking down on Christians, taking pastors out of the church, putting them in prison, closing churches down. They're trying to stamp out Christianity. They're not going to be able to do it, but they're trying. And the persecution is intense. Muslim nations, Christians are being beheaded, families are being killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Why is the Lord taking us out before this tribulation period begins? Well, think about it. Before World War II started, Japan and Germany called their ambassadors home. They left America and went to their own home countries. Why? Because war was about to break out and their countries wanted them to be home before war was declared. That's what the Lord's doing. He's declaring war on this earth. He's pouring out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. So he's calling his ambassadors home. Who are his ambassadors? You and me. The Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. We are here representing him. Too often, though, as Christians, we represent ourselves. No, it's not about us. We're ambassadors for Christ. My feelings, my ideas don't matter. When we send our ambassadors to other countries, they are representing the President of the United States. We are representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords wherever we go in this world. And keep in mind, our citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven. And that's where we're called to go, to be home with him. And like I said, Paul and Titus said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. And in knowing he's coming back and knowing we're going to be with him, what should we do? We should comfort one another with these words. Now, with that said, what the church should see and where it's leading. And I'm telling you, this is a hard one for me. Because what we're seeing happening at alarming rates today is this move to one world religion. And I realize that many Christians don't care. Some aren't even aware of what's going on in the church today. But here's the thing, and you watch this. Over the course of 2019, this push to unite the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Church under the leadership of the Pope. This is what's happening at an unbelievable rate today. This is a report from 2015, a few years back. And it's amazing, and I'll share with you how far we've come. We're told this. Although still some Protestants vehemently opposed to these plans, it's only a matter of time when the Holy Spirit will move and make us one under the Vicar of Christ on the earth, the Pope. Make who one? All of us. All the religions of the world coming together under one man. As Protestants around the world make the transition to Catholicism, very interesting, many are wondering what exactly that means for them. First and foremost, we acknowledge the Pope's infallibility with regard to universal moral declarations, the authority of the church magistrate, faith, and ex cathedra. All authority given to the Pope. He's infallible. And that was Father Cliff Borgen, a former Protestant pastor who was the first of the delegation to be ordained as a priest at the Vatican. Secondly, we participate in the sacrament of the Eucharist by accepting the actual body and blood of Christ, an event known as transubstantiation, at the conclusion of the Holy Mass. As part of their induction into the Catholic faith, all Protestants above the age of 15 are required to undergo a Catholic confirmation, one of three sacraments of initiation out of seven total, which Catholics can receive. Most, if not all, of us have been baptized, said Father Brogan. However, without formal confirmation, our Protestant baptisms will be null, and thus preventing us from entering the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that interesting? All of that's going to be null. Additionally, during the transition period, American Protestant families whose children attend Sunday school are to receive vouchers allowing them to participate in CCD programs at area Catholic churches. In a show of support for the reunification under the Holy See, the United Kingdom announced Wednesday that it's taking steps to reunify Northern Ireland with the Republic of Ireland. The government of the UK has acknowledged the stark differences between the two countries, but according to one official, we are for the first time one people united under the Bishop of Rome, acting together as the bride and the servant of Christ. Now it's interesting. Prominent American pastors, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, were among this Protestant delegation that met with Pope Francis. Listen to what Rick Warren said. He's the founder of Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California. And he spoke with members of the International Press in St. Petersburg Square. And listen to what he said. Protestants as a people have a long history of heresy. The time for reconciliation is now in order to ensure a full and dogmatic transition into the folds of the church. What folds of the church? Into the Roman Catholic Church. We are heretical. We have moved away from what Christ has said. Really? We have a long history of heresy. I think getting the gospel message is pretty important, don't you? And here's the difference for those that don't know. Because some may not agree with me on this, and that's fine, but I believe they preach a different Jesus and a different gospel. Why do I say that? Because Jesus is still on the cross. Jesus in the Roman Catholic Church has not paid in full the penalty for our sins. That is why we have to do good works in this life. We have to go to Mass. We have to go to confession. We have to have all these things because we are atoning for our sins on this earth. And even when we die, we still haven't been good enough to make it into heaven. So we go to this place called purgatory where we atone for our sins. Let me ask you this. Where in the Bible do you see that? See, I'm not asking you to believe me. You can challenge me on it, and I'm fine with that. Show me in the Scriptures where I have to atone for my sins. And I will show you where Jesus, before he gave up his spirit, said tetelestai, paid in full, saying that all my sins have been paid in full on the cross of Calvary, and I have to receive that gift by faith. It's a grace gift, not based on my merits, not based on how good I am. In fact, the Bible tells me how good I am, and it tells you how good you are. The Bible says none are good, no, not one. You see, what is the requirement that God desires for us to enter into heaven? Perfection, the righteousness of Christ, and we all fall far short of that. What's the solution? It's Jesus. Do you see the difference? But what I want you to notice in all of this is that the Protestant church is compromising what they believe. The Roman Catholic Church isn't compromising anything. We have to follow their rules and regulations, but the Protestants have to give up what they believe. Isn't that interesting? Moments before meeting with reporters, the entire Protestant delegation, for the first time ever, entered the confessional to take part individually in the sacrament of penance. It's important that we participate in these sacred rituals before asking our congregation to do the same, Pastor Osteen said, adding that his time in confession was an immensely moving experience. I don't know, I mean, that's shocking to me, and it should be to you. Do you know how many people these churches have as followers? And if it's not shocking to you, let me ask you this. Take your left hand, reach your right hand, and on your wrist, check for a pulse. Because if it's not shocking, man, you're dead. This should shock every single one of us. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm trying to make you aware of the things that are going on. And sometimes it is offensive. And all I would ask you to do is hear what I'm sharing with you. Listen to what these people are saying. And if you still have issues with it, you could talk to me afterwards. But you show me where I'm wrong, where the Bible's wrong. That's all I ask. This is one that may rock the boat and tip the boat over. Sorry. But that's Roma Downey. She's a Catholic who promotes her beliefs, and she's also a New Ager. And I know that's shocking, but listen carefully. We're told in this article, first she's there, now she's gone, or is she? New Age sympathizer Roma Downey was scheduled to speak at the National Religious Broadcasters 2019 convention, Proclaim 19, sharing the DACA with her are highly popular evangelical names like John MacArthur, Rick Warren, Greg Laurie, and Kirk Cameron. Lighthouse Trails reported on the story with the release of Greg Reed's booklet, Butterfly Illusions, which unveils the strong New Age messages in Roma Downey's new book, Box of Butterflies. Shortly after the release of the booklet, Lighthouse Trails learned that Roma Downey's name, along with her husband, Mark Burnett, had been removed from the speakers list for Proclaim 19. Calls to the NRB office in Washington, D.C. by Lighthouse Trails editors provided no answers as to why Downey's name was gone, other than being told it has not yet been decided if she will be speaking there. As has been the normal protocol for Christian leaders when they get challenged, there is just dead silence from NRB, as well as from the evangelical figures who are involved. But new information about Roma Downey's beliefs will hopefully prompt NRB and Christian leaders to be responsible and do the right thing. The crux of the New Age is not Ouija boards and tarot cards, but rather is the foundational belief that God is in everyone and in everything. That's New Age teaching, okay? And I've seen it over and over and over again spoken. It's in the message, the heretical translation of the scriptures. That is a New Age teaching. And what happens is you slowly bring this stuff in, and before long, you're following it, hook, line, and sinker. You know, think about it. And I used the illustration before, but you take a frog and throw him in a pot of boiling water, he's going to try and jump out, right? But if you put him in some water and slowly turn up the heat, a little jacuzzi, you know, he's very comfortable until he's boiled to death. And that's what we see happening. All these things just being slowly creeping in, and now it's like a snowball going downhill. It's getting faster and faster, and more people are embracing not only the New Age teachings, but the Roman Catholic Church. The article says it's the prevailing doctrine throughout all New Age teachings, as well as the root of mystical meditation. To believe that God is in everyone and in everything is to ultimately reject the cross, whether one realizes that or not. If God is in everyone, then there would have been no reason for Jesus Christ to go to the cross as a substitute for humanity's sins, because we would already be divine and not need a Savior. That is why one prominent New Age leader quoted his God as saying, "The era of single Savior is over, because we are all Saviors." That is one of the new things that is coming on. You know, in Matthew 24, Jesus said, many will call themselves Christ. That's what's happening. It's not just like, you know, Sun Young Moon and these other guys that are calling themselves God. We have this New Age teaching that has come in where we're all gods. We all have the divine in us. And so we're all gods. We just forgot. Again, you know, if you're God and you forget that you're God, something's seriously wrong, right? But that's the mentality, and people are buying into this. It says, it would stand to reason that Christian teachers and pastors who profess to know God's word and his ways would easily recognize the contrast between New Age spirituality and biblical Christianity. But in the case of Roma Downey and today's Christian leaders, this is not so. For many years now, Roma Downey has consistently and publicly shown herself to be strongly aligned with the New Age. Her longtime spiritual mentor was New Age, New Thought pastor and teacher Della Reese, whom Downey considered to be a mother figure. Downey then attended and, in 2010, graduated from the University of Santa Monica, one of the most popular New Age schools in the world. And she favorably quotes the school's New Age leader and founder, the late John Roger, who claimed he was inhabited by the mystical traveler consciousness. Shortly after her graduation from USM, Downey came on the evangelical Christian scene, calling herself a devout Catholic, producing Bible story movies, and being wholeheartedly welcomed by numerous celebrities, including Rick Warren, David Jeremiah, Greg Laurie, and Joel Osteen. And now, most recently, her open armed welcome to speak at Proclaim 19 with John MacArthur, Rick Warren, Greg Laurie, and Kirk Cameron. I want you to listen to what she says herself. You don't have to believe me. This is a video. I'm trying to get it on my notes on the webpage, but the Washington Post, this is from, it takes you to another video for whatever reason. So I'm still working on that, but this is the video.
I know for all the years I was on Touched by an Angel, we had an expression where we would say that coincidence was God's way of remaining anonymous. And I've always loved that. And I love when these things have shown up for me. And I choose to see them as reminders of that we're not, you know, that I'm not alone.
So you continued to be a Catholic and a devout, I would say, devout Catholic.
Yeah, I see such beauty in my faith. Well, you know, I just have a great love and belief in the Lord. So, and I see God in everyone. And in everything, you know, I guess when I'm looking for inspiration myself, I probably find it most in nature and the beauty and magnificence of nature. And in the, you know, I've heard once that you can, two things that have struck me as profound is that you can see that there are two points of view, perhaps, that there is no God. Or there is only God. And for me, there is only God. It's like you could see nothing as a miracle, or you can see everything as a miracle, right? It's so that. And then just that the language of God is in the silence, perhaps. And, you know, from I was a very young age, through my education, but really through my father's guidance, encouraged to listen to what he called, you know, your God voice. You know, it's just the still, quiet voice inside of yourself that you know what's the right thing to do, that you know the kind thing to say. And I've always tried to be guided by that.
Okay. Notice, God is in everyone and everything. Let's just think this through, because it sounds really good, doesn't it? When Jesus said to the Jewish religious leaders, "You are your father, the devil," was God in them? No. When Satan entered Judas, was God in him? No. Okay. Is God in plants? No. You know, we just accept these things because she is a very good speaker. The stillness. That's New Age. Okay. What does the Lord say? Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Let's talk about this, okay? Not in silence, not in stillness. Let's talk about it. Let's reason this stuff together. But this is, again, emptying yourself. You won't find that in the Bible. We need to be careful. I'm not trying to, you know, put anyone down here today. What I'm trying to do is make you aware of the dangers that are out there, because this is what's coming into the church, and it's coming into Protestant churches. When she says she's a devout Catholic, that's exactly what it means. She's following the Catholic teachings, which are not biblical. These are the doctrines of men, and it's a salvation by works. And you look at all the religions of the world, and they all have a salvation by works. You have to do this, don't do that, except one. And that's Christianity, where God says, "I did the work," reaching down to sinful man and pulling him out of the mire of sin that he is in. God did the work, not man. Our work in salvation is sin. His work is saving us. We didn't need more condemnation. We needed a Savior, and God sent Jesus. And the reason that these false teachings and false teachers have come right into the church, being invited by pastors and leaders to speak from the pulpit, to embrace them as brothers and sisters in Christ, is because we've moved away from the Word of God. It's as simple as that. When you know God's Word, you know this stuff is wrong. And thus, as you move away from God's word, you believe anything and everything. And that's what we see happening. And see, the only way that there will be a one-world religion is because Christians, as well as others who believe in false gods, have compromised their faith. How are you going to get Muslims to join a one-world religion? Well, I think we're going to talk about it. There's going to be a big war coming in the Middle East. And these radical Muslims are going to be gone. And you're going to have these compromising Muslims who will embrace this one-world religion. Just as you're going to have many compromising Protestants embracing this false religion. Listen to what Christians believe. And you tell me if there's a problem or not. And this is a report from October of 2018, just a few months back. We're told this: a majority of evangelicals now believe that God accepts the worship of all religions, according to a new study released by Legionnaire Ministries that shows many have also grown confused about some core doctrines of the Christian faith. So God just accepts everyone. Is that true? No. Chris Larson, president of Legionnaire Ministries, says the results of the 2018 State of Theology Survey, concluded by Lifeway Research and released Tuesday, shows an urgent need for bold teaching of historic Christianity. The State of Theology Survey highlights the urgent need for courageous ministry that faithfully teaches the historic Christian faith. It's never been popular to talk about mankind's sinfulness or the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ, but at a time when a darkened world needs the light of the gospel, it's disheartening to see many within the evangelical church confused about what the Bible teaches. We hope this survey provides local churches with a little more insight into what people in our neighborhoods and in our pews actually believe, Larson said in a statement. In the survey, in which a representative sample of 3,000 Americans were interviewed, evangelicals were asked about their views on a series of theological statements, including God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Some 51% of respondents were shown to agree with that statement, while 42% disagreed. 2 years earlier, in 2016, 49% of evangelicals were found to agree with the statement, while 43% said they disagreed. How are you an evangelical and agree with that statement? It makes no sense to me. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the many ways. I'm one of the many truths. I'm in the many ways to the Father. If you want to come through me, you can come through anyone. Is that what he said? No, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Period. Exclamation mark. Whatever punctuation you want to put there. It's so simple. This is basic Christianity, and people don't get it. And I'm seeing that more and more today, the basics people don't understand. The article goes on, the Bible is clear that the gospel is the only way of salvation, and God will not accept the worship of other faiths. It's only through Jesus Christ and by His Spirit that we are able to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, the researchers note. Among other troubling theology embraced by evangelicals, according to the survey, is that a majority of evangelicals believe that most people are basically good by nature and that Jesus was the first and greatest being created by God the Father. Some 78% of evangelicals agree with this. Only 71% of evangelicals supported this idea in 2016. The results show the pressing need for Christians to be taught Christology, especially as the outcome has gotten worse since 2016. There's a general lack of teaching today on the person of Christ, a doctrine for which the early church fought so hard. Stephen Nichols, chief academic officer of Legionnaire and president of Reformation Bible College, also noted that it's a cause for concern when 53% of evangelicals believe that most people are good by nature, even though everyone sins a little. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I'm not sure what Bible they're being taught from, or if they're even being taught from the Bible. The Bible says none are good, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is, again, it's not some deep theological issue. It's basic Christianity. It's milk. And look at how many Christians don't get it. And how easy then it is to get swayed by the false teaching that comes in. The article says, these results are a serious cause for concern. It is the depths of man's sin that led Jesus to die on the cross. How then can a majority of evangelicals say most people are good by nature? Down through history, Christians have proclaimed that Jesus is truly God, not some sort of created being. The evangelical world is in great danger of slipping into irrelevance when it casually forgets the Bible's doctrines, he said. Exactly. We need to get back to the Bible, believe what God's Word says, to be taught the things of God. It's, again, hard for me to imagine. I guess I'm not that imaginative or talented to just teach you anything. I've got my study. When we get to Joshua next week, if we finish up today, we'll get to Joshua next week. I got my text right there. It's what God's Word says. What does it mean to me now? How do I apply that to my life? What happened back then? Those are all things we can glean from. But if it's not being taught, then you are prey for the false teachers and the false teaching that is out there. That's how dangerous it is. And again, please understand, I am not trying to make anyone angry or offend anyone. I know I say that a lot, but I'm not. I'm making you aware of this, and you do with it whatever you want. It's up to you. I'm just sharing with you what's going on out there. This is from February 15, 2018, almost a year ago. Again, the coming together of Catholics and Protestants, and there's not a concern. The article says this, in what appears to be one of the latest atrocities in the ecumenical war against God's church, Hillsong churches are partnering with Alpha, a contemplative program that originated in the Anglican Holy Trinity, Brompton, the church that was the European home of the Holy Laughter heresies. Maybe you're not aware of the Holy Laughter, but that's where people are just laughing in the church uncontrollably. They can't stop. They're rolling on the ground. Garbage. Okay? Foolishness. But again, the mega ecumenical Alpha Conference 2018 in the U.S. was just held at Hillsong Phoenix on February 8th and 9th and featured popular Catholic artist Matt Maher. He is a great musician, but he is an evangelical Catholic. He is out to sway you to the Catholic faith. And you don't think that he plays a role in this? He was at one of the big churches in our town a few years ago playing with another Protestant Christian artist and excited that they could all come together. But does he believe in the same gospel that we believe? No. So where is he leading people to? To hell. That's how dangerous this is. This is why this is such a passion of my heart, because Jesus warned us about these things. Not only Matt Maher, Hillsong Phoenix worship team, Eleanor Mumford, a Vineyard International executive, Catholic Bishop Eduardo Nevarez, and former Willow Creek executive Greg Springer. And what does this event look like? You tell me. What does it look like? Catholic Mass, doesn't it? That's the Alpha Conference at a Protestant church, and they're having a Catholic Mass. And what is he holding up? The Eucharist. Body of Christ he's holding up, supposedly. The article says photos of the event show Catholic clergy in full regalia holding up the Eucharist wafer and doing Mass on the stage at Hillsong Phoenix. Anyone familiar with Alpha's links to contemplative mysticism know this certainly is not a good thing. As a quick perusal of the Hillsong TV channel will show, Hillsong is far from being orthodox, is firmly in the Word, Faith, Kingdom Now camp. This is the danger, okay? You've got these mega churches that are promoting this stuff, and people are buying into it. And I'll tell you, it starts out very sly. They're very slick. But look at how far they've come now. Could you imagine if we had a Catholic Mass here? You guys would be, you'd be roasting me in the fire. You'd be, you know, asking Tony for his grill to put me on. That's how bad this is. But this is the tip of the iceberg. I don't think we see how massive. You know how an iceberg is? You see it above the water and it looks pretty big, but underneath the water it's huge. and this is what's going on. This just happened, so I had to put this slide in here. Baptists joined with Pope for the sake of Christian unity, December 10th through the 14th in Rome. Really? Am I missing something? I just can't imagine what is going on in Protestant churches today. Again, I am thankful that I know you guys, that if I started going off course, you would be in my face in a good way, because that's what needs to happen. It's called accountability. There needs to be accountability. And this is wrong. And this, again, it breaks my heart, but this person is the head of Calvary Chapel Global Outreach, not what we're in. We're a Calvary Chapel Association. We split from them. But this is the article, okay? In July 2018, Calvary Chapel leader Brian Broderson posted a video shared directly from the group Muslims Around the World, The Positive Message. The video is entitled, Pediatrician Shuts Down Leftists on Puberty Blockers. What does it say on the top of that page? Praise to who? Yahweh? Jesus? Oh, praise to Allah who has redeemed us from our sadness? No, I want a Jesus who can save me from my sins. What is wrong with us? Now, granted, is he doing this to because the article was good? Who cares? I mean, there's no other articles besides a Muslim site to use? Praise to Allah who has removed us from our sadness. And here's the question in the article. If Broderson simply wanted to share a message about the facts on gender issues and puberty blockers, why choose one from an Islamic proselytizing site? How many people were Broderson's reckless post stumble? If, let's say, a Hindu cult had posted on some social issue Christians happen to agree with, should it therefore be shared by Christians at the risk of exposing people to those doctrines? I hardly think so. So what is Broderson doing posting this? That is, look, I mean, you've got the five pillars of Islam on there. Really? Paul warned us, the savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. What are we admonished to do? Watch. Pay attention, right? Man, you just kind of scratch your head and go, how could this be? How could this be happening in the church today? Because if you don't know the truth, you will believe the lies that are out there. Because the truth will set you free. And, you know, we've talked about it before when we did our study on civil war in the United States. And we looked at how Satan is destroying this nation. He's come against our government. Look at how inept our government is, okay? I mean, you know, last year, I think it was last year when the Democrats were protesting something, they all sat down on the floor. Well, you know, is that really what I want my leaders doing, sitting down crying like little babies? I want you to stand up for what you believe in, but don't sit on the floor. That's ridiculous. They have an approval rating that is atrocious. All government officials, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, it doesn't matter. Your approval rating stinks. If we were at a job and we got that kind of approval rating, we'd be gone. Like, well, what is going on? Why are they so bad? This is my opinion. You could agree with it or disagree with it. This is my opinion. The reason being, and I think I touched on it last week, is that we have a constitution that is so amazing. It was written by amazing men who believed in Jesus, most of them. And it has stood, what, for 230 plus years. It's the longest standing constitution ever. A lot of them, you know, a constitution turns over like a new year in countries. You've got to write a new one. This one has stood, it's the time. What's interesting in this constitution is that we are a sovereign nation. That is a problem for the globalist. Maybe you read the article from the Pope who said, we cannot be sovereign nations anymore. we have to be globalists, part of a global community. That's the religious leader. That's the one the Protestant church is joining with. One world leader, one world religion, and one world government. And it's one world religion that brings the Antichrist to power. Amazing. So we have to destroy or come to a point where there's such chaos, such a mess, that we have to rewrite our constitution so we can be part of the global community. And we're one of the nations that is causing trouble now because of a guy named Trump, who's president of the United States. He's not a globalist. He's for our nation. What did he say? Make America great again? He's not a globalist. He doesn't care about the global world. He cares about Americans. And they hate him for it. Republican, Democrat, it really doesn't matter. They're globalists. So you take down the government. What's next? The family. You destroy the family. We don't know what a family is. Man and a woman, man and a man, woman and a woman. What's a family? We don't know. Children tend to run the families nowadays. They tell the parents what to do. We lost sight of what the biblical role model of a family is about. The husband is the head of the family. The wife is there, and the child. And it's not that the husband is smarter or better. That's just the way God has done it. Well, that's not fair. Well, look at Jesus. Is he Almighty God? Yeah. Equal with the Father? Yeah. What did he do? He surrendered his authority to the Father. If Jesus could do it, well, okay. But we've lost that biblical role of a family where the man is the head of the house. And I'm not saying he's some dictator, because that's what people think. Oh, it's a dictator, just tell the wife what to do. Not at all. Loves the wife, cares for her, takes care of her needs. He protects her, watches over her, and instills in the kids the things of God. So we've destroyed the family. We've destroyed the government. We destroyed the family. What's the last thing we got to destroy? The church. And how do we do it? Get them away from the Bible. You see, it's really as simple as that. You get them away from the Word of God because they don't know what's right or wrong anymore. You know, a few years back, there was a church that, you know, had invited everyone to come together to talk about, should homosexuals be allowed in the church in ministry? Well, the meeting's like about 5 seconds long. No. Not because I said so, not because I hate anyone. I don't. But because the Bible says so. It's as simple as that. You see, we live in a society today where anything and everything goes. But where do you draw the line? See, to me, that's the bigger question. Where do you draw the line? If homosexuality, lesbianism, okay, what about bestiality? Oh, that's horrible. Wow, you're pretty judgmental. You're pretty intolerant. What about pedophiles? Oh, come on. Now you're being ridiculous. Well, wait a minute. Who are you to tell me that that's wrong? You see, you don't have a standard anymore. I do. And it's called the Word of God. I might not like everything that's in the Bible. We've been through Genesis through Revelation once already. We're almost going through it a second time. We're almost done, a few more years in the New Testament. But we'll get through. And do I like everything it says in there? No, I don't. I'll be honest with you. When it says forgive those who have hurt you, forgive them like Christ has forgiven you, I don't always like that. But Lord, there's the problem. But, no, just Lord. Okay. But I say, but Lord, I try to justify why I can't forgive a person. See, I don't always like what it says. But here's the thing I do know. 100% assurity that whatever God has in His Word is for my best interest. As a parent, when you're raising your children, do your children go, oh, thank you, Mom and Dad. You guys are so wonderful in telling me what to do and what not to do. You are so wonderful. Thank you that I have to have a curfew at 10 o'clock and I can't drink and can't do this. You are just the nicest parents in the world. How many of you had your kids say that? I didn't say that when I was a kid. Why? because they want to do those things and you're trying to protect them. And when they're a kid, do they understand that you're trying to protect them? Most of the time they don't. But here's the amazing thing. You know, my kids went through a lot growing up. And they got into a lot of stuff and they came back to the Lord. But the one thing that they said was they realized what we did for them was for their best. We weren't trying to hurt them. Sometimes you have to grow up. You get older, you get mature, you look back, you have kids of your own, and you realize, you know what, my parents weren't that bad. They were trying to protect me from the harm that was out there. Isn't that what our Heavenly Father does for us? Absolutely. But again, we have moved away from the Word of God. Here's the thing. Jesus warned us, and I shared this with you already, but Jesus warned us. Take heed that no one deceives you. Pay attention. When we get in car accidents, many times the reason we get in car accidents is because we are not paying attention. Right? Oh, that's not true. Sure it is. Have you ever seen people on the phone? I don't know how they text. I mean, I have a hard time texting when I'm not driving, okay? But they're texting and driving, and they're not paying attention, and I'll tell you in a split second, man. Jesus is warning us. Take heed. Why? That no one deceives you. You mean there's deception out there? Yeah, and you know where this is found? In a section dealing with the last days. In Matthew 24:4. Take heed that no one deceives you. That means false teachers and false doctrine is going to grow and grow in the last days to move you away from the truth. And how do you know you're being deceived? You don't. That's why you're deceived, right? But before you get to that point where you're deceived, the truth can keep you from going down that path. And that's what I'm so thankful for. Because let me say it like this. We don't believe based on popular opinion. We don't believe based on majority. We believe, very simply, what the Word of God says. That's the bottom line. Can you imagine if we just were picking and choosing what we want from the Bible? And people do that. And you know what they pick? What do you think, as they just edit the Bible for themselves, what do you think they pick out of there that they like? Love. Love, love, love. All we need is love, right? And that's what they pick. And it's true. Jesus, God, He loves us more than we will ever know. There's no doubt. What do you think they leave out? Judgment. We don't like that part. So we're editing judgment out, and we're just keeping love. Take heed that no one deceives you. You don't have the option of doing that. If God is holy, just, fair, if He's a righteous judge, doesn't He have to judge sin? Think about that. Yes, He does. Well, then we're all doomed. Yeah, apart from Christ, we are. But He judged sin on the cross at Calvary as Jesus hung on the cross to die for my sins. So that means He is still a holy, righteous God. But if He said, hey, you know what? You could sin, do whatever you want, I don't care. Then He's not a holy and righteous God anymore. He's not a just God. He's unjust. But our God was willing to pay in full the penalty for our sins so that we could spend eternity with Him. Here's the thing. The truth is the hardest pill to swallow, especially when it comes from the medicine bottle of God's Word, the Bible. How many of you found that to be true? Come on, we all have, right? You're reading it, and all of us, you know, it's like, I really don't like that, like I said. I really don't. But you cannot take white out and edit your Bible. We, again, don't have that option. Because now we're saying we know better than God. Are you kidding me? What's your IQ? What'd you get on your SAT scores? God did just a little bit better. He knows every hair that's on our head. You don't even know how many hairs you lost today. He not only created all the stars, the billions upon billions upon billions of stars, stars we can't even see yet that are out there, but they're so far away, we can't see them. And he says, I know them by name. I've named every single star. Sometimes I mess up on the names of my kids. I only have two. I mean, come on. Especially my grandkids. I guess I should say my grandkids, because I call my grandkids by my son's names. Go, Joe and Tony. Oh, no, that's not right. God knows the names of every star. He's named them. You see, the truth can keep us from going down the path of deception. And isn't that simplistic? Why does it have to be complicated? We think the more complicated it is, the better. You know, I love people. You know, there's nothing wrong with digging into the scriptures and finding all these codes and different things that are in there. That's great. But are you living what the Bible says? That's very plain and clear. That's more important. It's not how much knowledge you have. It's are you living what God says or how God says we are to live? And for me, I've seen basic Christianity gone from many Christians' lives. Just the basics, the ABCs of Christianity. And I don't get it. That's, I guess, one thing I learned over the past year is Christians can be easily deceived by the words that are said and how they're being said. You just got to sound like you know what you're talking about. I don't know if anyone has ever seen the show The Carbonaro Effect. He's a magician. And he will make people believe things that are totally impossible. Totally impossible. It can't happen. He put these little propellers on this little board. And he had special batteries on these propellers that really boost the power. And he said, he gave this lady this little controller, and he sat on this and goes, okay, now make it go up. And all of a sudden, this board, these propellers are lifting him up. I'm like, wow, I can't believe that. And they do believe it. It's impossible. He's a magician. That's how deceivers are. They sound really good. I know this. I know that. Look at, this is what it says. Guys, look at the totality of the scriptures. It's so important. You know, Peter warned us, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemy. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, but their destruction does not slumber. Again, be careful. There are deceivers out there, and they may seem like they speak for God, and yet what they say is contrary to the Word of God. We shouldn't be following them. And again, I'm amazed. Sometimes it is so clear. Again, this last year, I've seen it. I've heard what people have said. And I'm like, that completely goes against the scriptures. One person said that Paul was wrong because the writings that he said went contrary to what he believed. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Paul was wrong? Then you're saying God was wrong. Because it says all of scripture, doesn't say except for Paul's writings, were given by inspiration of God. And they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, we believe that God's word is God's word, and it is profitable for us. It tells us what's right. It tells us what's wrong. It tells us how to get right when we've gone astray, and it helps us to stay on track, and it equips us to serve. How important that is. Don't follow them. These false teachers, the false teaching. And as Christians, man, we should see these things. In fact, Paul in Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. And hopefully that's what I've done this morning, is, you know, expose some of this stuff. But what I see is the church in general, not the body of Christ, but the church, moving into this black hole, this event horizon. And it's like, man, they're getting to that point where they're not going to be able to get out. Now, within these churches, people are leaving because they see the falseness. They see the danger that's there. But many are just being sucked in. And this one world religion, God's word is pretty clear on this. It's coming, whether we like it or not. And it's the false prophet that will unite or bring up the Antichrist, draw them together. Let me share this with you. This is about one world religion, one world government. And we were told this. Robert Mueller, former assistant secretary at the UN, understood that the ultimate goal of internationalists around the globe is a totally implemented world governing system, an organization designed to supersede any national government and demand that all nations surrender their sovereignty and submit to international laws and regulations. Mr. Mueller also knew that for this dream to become a reality, all religions must somehow ignore their differences, unify and pledge their allegiances to the establishment of the global community. When this happens, and according to Bible prophecy, it will in the very near future, those who choose not to conform will be considered heretics and possibly even pay for it with their lives. Isn't it interesting? A global government needs a global religion because you need to control the people. Hitler paid the pastors, the German government paid the pastor's salary. He had them, and he had the people. We need to be careful. We need to be wise. We need to take heed so that we don't fall. And I'll tell you, it's going to get tougher and tougher, guys. And this is the reason. Because as the false church grows, they will be saying, you're hateful, you're unloving, you're unforgiving. And that's not true. Jesus loves sinners. He didn't say, well, I only love certain kinds of sinners. He loved all of us. He went to the cross of Calvary to pay in full the penalty for our sins, as I've said. That is the wonderful God we have. But now we are being told, hey, you know, you're a little dogmatic about that. You need to loosen up a little. You know, yeah, Jesus is good. He's a good teacher. But, you know, Buddha's good, and this is good over here, and that's good over there. And, you know, we're all going to the same place. Well, you may be going somewhere, but I'm not going with you. I'm going with Jesus. Because, again, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so in these days, we got to take heed that we don't fall, that we don't stumble, that we're not drawn into this. And again, you don't have to believe anything that I said here this morning. But I challenge you, search the scriptures yourself. That's the key. The Bible has plenty of warnings in it. And what the church has done is they don't believe the warnings anymore. They think just because something is happening and something is growing or something is big, that it's got to be from God. And it sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That means if we're going to use that theology, Muslims must be doing something right. No. You know, God always has his faithful remnant. And there are many in our community that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. But we have to be careful. Because, again, as churches start moving away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, where are we going to be in a year? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, if the Lord tarries. How far away from God are we going to be? Are we going to be having meetings to decide, well, what do you think about this? Should we allow this in the church? You know, use your time in a better way. Don't try and decide what God desires you to do. Just teach the word and he'll tell you. It's pretty simple. I'm not a very, I guess, deep person. I believe what he says. And so should you. Because he will never steer you wrong. I've been a Christian for over 35 years. Has it been easy? No. It's been tough at times. But I'll tell you what, he's never forsaken me. He's always given me the strength to endure the times that I go through. And the last few years have been tough. I mean, my heart goes out to my wife and all that she's been through the last few years. It breaks my heart. I just give it to me, Lord. Take it away from her. It's just not how it works. But I'll tell you what, our faith stands strong. That was one of the things one of my kids said to us after he came back to the Lord. He said, you know, Dad, all that we did to you and Mom, said the one thing I'm amazed is that your faith stood strong. It was a witness. And I can't take credit for that. It's not because I'm so strong. It's because he is. He's enabled me to do the things that I've done. He's enabled me to get through the difficult times that I've been through. And he'll do the same in your lives. Because if you think that everybody wins, come see me after service this morning. I'll let you in on a little secret, though, right now. Everybody doesn't win. I shared on Thursday about the kicker from the Bears who could advance the Bears to the next level, going to the Super Bowl, making it to the next playoff. And he kicked. It hit the bar, and then it hit the bar below, and it didn't go through, and they lost. There's a lot of upset people. What I found interesting, and here's Christian, is that even in missing that field goal, he praised God. And this was his rationale. Do I just praise God for when it goes through? Or do I praise God for the good times and the bad times? Oh, wow, what a witness. And then they're all praying. Philadelphia Eagle players, Chicago Bear players who are Christians are all praying together, and he's right there with them, praying. And then an article is written about him and how he's telling his kids, because, you know, there's a lot of upset Chicago Bear fans, not very nice about what they're saying about him. But here's the thing. He's telling his kids how to win and how to lose and how to deal with conflict. And it's something we need to do today. We're going to go through tough times. How are we going to handle it? We bring it to God. We draw from his word, and we encourage each other. That's what it's about. Well, we only have another 15 pages to go. We are not going to finish up today. And you know what? The Lord took me in a different direction, and we will finish up next time, part 3 of our study. Lord willing, we'll finish up next time. I guess I'll put it that way. About signs are everywhere, and we'll deal with that. Because I don't want to rush through it. I think it's important we see these things. So we've got one more week with this, and then we'll move back into Joshua. But I hope I've encouraged you to pay attention, to take God for what he has said in his word, to take heed that you do not fall, because it is that important. God has admonished us to do these things. Are we willing to listen to him, though? Because these are very interesting days we're living in, aren't they? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And my heart grieves when I see churches that are embracing false teaching, that are embracing false teachers, that are embracing false religions. And Lord, help us to reach out to these people and share the truth with them in love. Not condemning them, not putting them down, but just sharing the truth, the word of God, and what it has to say. And Lord, help us not to be deceived. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading. I'm so blessed when I hear people who were reading a book and all of a sudden your Spirit just spoke to them and said, this is wrong, put it down, and they do. Thank you, Lord, for being that concerned for us. Because, Lord, we don't want to be deceived. We want to follow you all the days of our lives. And, Lord, just any here who are struggling this morning, Lord, just comfort their hearts. Any who are searching wanting to know you, Lord, that they would surrender their life to you. They would ask you to be Lord and Savior of their lives. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And Lord, help us to take heed so that we don't fall. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.